Welcome to Caffeine, Crime and Canines, a podcast brought to you by two girls who love their dogs, love coffee, but most importantly, love true crime.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you.
That's good.
How has your week been?
Oh, it's been busy. It has been busy. Yep. I don't even know. I can't believe it's Monday tomorrow.
I know. I feel the same. This week now just flew. Like, I feel like I blinked and it was over.
I know. And Easter next week. I mean, it's not your Easter, but, you know, long weekend next week.
Still hanging.
It's just come up so quick.
Hasn't it? And I think because it's the end of March as well, it's thrown me big time.
When is Greek Easter?
You would not believe it. It is. So the Good Friday is the 3rd of May.
And oh my God.
Easter Sunday is the 5th. I know, right?
Ages away.
It's like 6 weeks away. I know. Crazy.
Yeah, crazy.
Like 6 weeks difference. But usually I tell everyone because everyone's like, I don't even understand. I think it works by moons or something like that, right? Because we, like, the Greek Orthodox go by the old calendar. I think that's right anyway. But, yeah, and then the only way I remember is where it is, obviously, compared to I was going to say the English Easter, but you know what I mean, is that so, it, like, 6 weeks is the furthest apart it will go, and then as of next year, it will be the same, if that makes sense. So next year we'll have the same Easter, and then the year after that it'll be 1 week apart, and then 2 weeks apart, and then it'll go up to six, and then it will start again. So every 6 years we have the same Easter.
Ah.
Maybe it's every seven. Every 7 years. Sorry. I'm so bad.
We had this conversation at work this week and we figured out why Easter for Australians is different every year, and it does have to do with the moon. It's like the second full moon of the month, or I don't know, something to do with the moons, but that's why it's always different.
Yeah, see, and I think that's the same with us, and that's why it's different. Like, we must go by a different. It's definitely a different sort of calendar. But you know what's freaking weird, right? A lot of Orthodox, like, their whole year is based off the old calendar, whereas for Greeks, like, for instance, I think, like, Serbians and, like, other nationalities celebrate Christmas on a different day as well. And I feel like it's in, like, Jan, whereas we don't. We celebrate Christmas with everyone else. It's only Easter. How random is that? It makes no sense.
Yeah, so weird. So yeah. It falls around your birthday this year. So it that does. Means you get a long weekend.
Yeah. You know, the only crap thing, I'll probably be fasting on that Friday. Oh. So I'm like, oh, I know. But anyway, we'll see how I go.
Bugger.
I just want to tell you before I forget, Lockie, we are going to New Zealand in literally days.
I know. It's actually, I feel like I'm not organized. Like, I feel like I'm usually all ready to go, and I'm not organized in the slightest.
I'm the same. I was just thinking, I know my passport is valid, but in my head, I'm like, check the passport, and because I always hide all my stuff, right? Like, where is it? Like, you know, when you wake up in the middle of the night and you're like, oh my God, where did I put my passport? That was me, like, 2 nights ago.
Oh. Yeah, it's come up very quickly. I'm super excited for it, though. It'll be very fun.
Yeah, me too. I'm so excited.
We do need to talk about the cake. So Kate Middleton came out this week with a video. Watched it?
Yes.
What do you think? What do you think about it?
I feel really bad because obviously so many people are still speculating, and the fact that she's obviously had to do this video because – people are just gone wild, like, looking for her. I do feel very sorry for her.
Yeah, well, I think the whole, like, the footage of them shopping was meant to be, like, put it to bed, but people were still pulling that apart, saying it's not her, like, this is a body double, blah, blah, blah. So then she had to come out and do this video. But then people are still like, oh, you can see the pixels on her mouth aren't moving properly, and it's AI generated. And, I mean, who cares if it is or not?
I know. And do you know what? I feel like I haven't, like, gone back into that conspiracy only because if that is what she's going through, like, I feel bad. You know what I mean? Like, I feel bad that so many people are pulling, you know, even there's a video apart. And imagine being her. Like, I can't even, you know? I feel really sorry for her. And trying to deal with this privately.
She does look not sick, but she looks tired. Like, in that video, she looks tired. And I don't know.
Oh, sorry, I was going to say, I feel like they filtered it. Like, I don't know if that's, like, I feel like the colouring's off.
Yeah.
In that video. Yeah, I don't know. You know, like, I mean, I don't know if they've purposely done that or if it's just the lighting, but I did notice the lighting when I first watched it. And obviously, like, she's sick, so she's not wearing makeup. And, like, I still think she looks good, but you can definitely see she looks tired and she hasn't gone to, like, don't know, she hasn't put on a full face of makeup. And so she shouldn't, you know what I mean?
But then my kind of thing that is confusing me, though, is that when they said she was taking time away, right, they said she'd be back at Easter. But she said in that video that she is about to start a small round of chemotherapy. Easter is next week.
Mm.
So, like, how does that work?
But you know what? Maybe, because obviously there are people out there that are doing chemotherapy and are still doing, obviously not like full events and things like that, but are also, you know, doing bits and pieces of their normal duties and things like that. So maybe she was just trying to deal with it up until.
I know, but then I think, like,
I don't know,
if you're going to take like a huge amount of time off, why would you not take extra time so that you can, like, you know, chemo makes you really sick and, like, I don't know. I mean, I think at this point it's like, who cares?
yeah, exactly.
That's what's going on.
Yeah, and yeah, I'm the same. I really, as I said to you, I saw the video. I felt really bad, and there's still so many conspiracies out there. But from that video, I was like, if that's what it is, like, I feel bad digging into it more.
Yeah.
And maybe she's come out and said it because she won't be back at Easter. And she's like, maybe she thought
people will be like,
the chemo would have been done or the operation. Because didn't she originally just say it was going to be the operation and then they found cancer it was a shock?
Yeah.
So maybe she was thought, like, they put out that statement that she'd be back at Easter thinking, not realizing that she had cancer. So, I mean, that would make sense.
Yeah. Very crazy.
One thing I want to say is Vic got his hair cut today, Lockie, and he looks so cute.
Well, that's good.
The long legs. I don't know if we've spoken about this before.
Yeah, you have told me about this, yeah.
I freaking got them again, and he just looks like, he looks I don't know, manly, like Butch. He's just like,
Butch.
It looks really, really cute.
Sorry, you keep going.
No, this is something random. You tell me.
Do you know what happened to Olive a few weeks ago? I forgot to tell you.
What?
She got, I've never heard of this before until she got it. She got happy tail. Have you heard of this?
Happy tail? Is that when the tail's wagging a lot?
No. So we went to, where do we go? I don't know. We went somewhere and someone said to me, what's wrong with Olive's tail? I'm like, what are you talking about? And then I noticed it was really hanging low. And she, like, wasn't wagging it. Like, she was holding it really low. And then we were, like, worried that obviously something had happened to her. But then after a few days, she obviously, it was feeling better and she started wagging it again. But it's, like, a thing called happy tail where dogs that wag tails too much, they, like, hurt it. They, like, strain the muscle.
Oh, no way, Lockie.
Yeah, so it must have just been a bit sore for a few days and then as it got better, she started wagging it again.
Oh my gosh, that is so cute. Like, so freaking cute.
How funny. I mean, I'd never heard of that before.
Cute. Yeah.
Yeah.
Neither. I mean, it's sad. I thought it was like just their tails going wild because they're so excited, you know?
Yeah, it's very crazy.
But you know, something else random that I did want to share is the other day I was listening to a podcast in my car, right? And I feel like it was like Sword and Scale or something. I was listening to something and the volume was really low. Right, so I had my radio, like the volume in my car, up at its highest peak. Anyway, I don't know, got out, did something, and then I got back in my car to drive, and Lockie, I got the fright of my life because I turned my car on and it mustn't have connected to my phone, so the radio came on and it was at its full peak, like as in whatever it goes to. And I'm not kidding you, my ears are still sore. Like, they were ringing. I was going to make a doctor's appointment. I thought I'd done something to my ears. because it went that loud and I was in my car and you should have seen me trying to put it down. Like I would have looked like a freak, right? Anyway, I finally put it down, but to this day, my ears are still not right. And you know, I've told you lots of times, I think I've got ear problems anyway. This is something else. It's like they're still ringing from like a week or two ago.
Yeah, I think it's called tinnitus or something like that. And lots of old tradies get it from the noise and their ears just ring permanently. So yeah, maybe you've just like, I don't know, like not saying that that specific like thing that happened caused it, but maybe you having small bouts of it and then this just like flared it up.
Sent it over. I was so worried.
Tinnitus or something. Such a T.
Well, I was, yeah, I'm too scared to go to the doctor. I'm scared what they're going to tell me. Like, I was like, oh. Anyway. So that happened.
That's but crazy. Yes. I just thought of something else and I can't remember what it was. That reminded me. Sorry, the loud music. Do you know what I do at work all the time and it's really embarrassing? When I, like, put my headphones in at work to, like, just do work, connect my headphones to my laptop, my work laptop, and then say I go and have lunch, right? I'm down in the lunchroom having my lunch and I'm listening to like TikToks or whatever on my phone. Then when I come back up, Jim, you know my boss, Jim.
Yeah.
Lucky, your music was playing loud on your laptop while you were gone. Like, so it must like not connect to the, I don't know, like the.
It's your phone's connecting it to your laptop.
No, but he says it's music. So embarrassing because he comes out and he works all through like, well, the last time it happened the other day, I was just listening to Taylor Swift, like the Eras Tour playlist, and I obviously would have got up and he would have, like, it blasts like loud. So embarrassing. And he doesn't know how to turn it off, so he just has to leave it. It's literally multiple times it's happened to me. Yeah.
That is so funny.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, that's my story. Actually, quickly, sorry, before we get into it, I just wanted to shout out someone who bought us some coffees this week. Their profile's named NFE Images. So I'm not sure who that is, but thank you for buying us some coffees.
Yes, thanks. That's exciting.
It is. But I think we should get into this week's case.
We totally should.
Good evening. 7 years after they were allegedly murdered, Carly Pierce Stevenson and her daughter Candalise, whose remains were found dumped in a suitcase at Wanaka, have been laid to rest together. Around 100 mourners gathering in their hometown of Alice Springs to pay tribute to the young victims.
They left Alice Springs for a new adventure in 2008, only to return in this single white coffin. Carly Pierce Stevenson and daughter Candalise finally reunited after being found murdered more than 1,000 kilometres apart. Early this morning, their bodies were carried to a hearse at an Alice Springs funeral home before being driven to the Desert Life Church for a private funeral. In attendance, family, close friends, a representative of SA Police and the Acting Commissioner for Victims' Rights. All of them were dressed in pink and blue, Carly and Candalise's favourite colours. Inside the funeral, family described Carly Pierce Stevenson as a cheeky, kind, loyal young woman who was always there to support family. Candalise, they said, was always front and centre, as amongst the action as any two-year-old could be. Mother and daughter were facing the world with all its charms, persuasions and pitfalls. 41-year-old Daniel Holdham allegedly murdered Carly. Nobody has been arrested over the murder of Candalise. The Alice Springs community is still waiting for justice, but pleased that Carly is now side by side with her little girl.
She was a great person, you know, and from what I remember of her, you know, she was always happy.
I just thought it was really sad and, you know, it's good that there is some sort of closure.
Hopefully they can be together forever now and, yeah, souls forever rest in peace.
Carly and Candalise were buried alongside Carly's mother in the Alice Springs Cemetery. Ben Avery, Nine News.
Okay, so this week's case was requested by Brody. Brody is an old friend of mine, and I know it was her birthday recently, so I wanted to do this episode as a bit of a birthday present for Brody. And, like, I did know this case, but I just think researching it this week, it just brought it all up again. Do you remember it, like, from a few years ago?
I do remember it. I only remember the faces, and I remember, like, bits and pieces, but it's not something, again, that I had fully researched or knew the background of. And I did message you this week because I was a little bit limited with how much reading I was going to get in this week. I just had a crazy week. And I ended up buying this book, and obviously I couldn't read it, so I listened to it like an audio book. And it's called The Lost Girls, and I highly recommend it. And it's just based on this, and honestly, I found out just so much information, Lockie. It's a really good book, like, gives you heaps of info on this case.
Yeah, so today we are talking about the murder of Carly Pierce and Candalise Pierce Stevenson. So I was thinking about the best way to tell this story, and I think because there is so many twists and turns, I'm hoping the way I've set it out makes sense to everyone. But on the 29th of August 2010, trail bike riders were riding in Belanglo State Forest in New South Wales, and many Australians will know this place as where the Australian serial killer Ivan Milat used to kill and dump his victims in this state forest. These bike riders specifically discovered skeletal remains, and at first it was thought that these were just a victim of Ivan Milat's that maybe hadn't been found in the past. However, forensic testing later revealed that these remains had actually been left in Belanglo after he was put in jail, so it couldn't have been one of his victims. So the police were obviously trying to identify these remains. They released like an image of the T-shirt that was found with the remains, because it said like angelic or angel or something on it. So they released that shirt, seeing if anyone would recognize it. And then all of the information they had really is that it was a girl between the age of 13 and 25. But that was really all they had. They were just appealing to the public for information to see if anyone recognised the T-shirt, really. So police appealed for this information, but the case didn't really go much further than that. And they were trying to do testing throughout the years after, but it wasn't very successful.
Yeah, I think they were just like looking into every missing person, not only in Australia, but even overseas, because I think there was something in the bones that made them think that maybe they weren't from Australia. How interesting is that?
Yeah, they were just trying everything. They were just testing as many things as they could to try and get an answer, but no luck. So now we fast forward to July the 15th, 2015, obviously 5 years later. A passing motorist driving down the Karunda Highway in South Australia discovered an abandoned suitcase. Upon later examination, it was revealed that this suitcase contained the remains of a young child surrounded by girls' clothing, and in the suitcase was also a handmade blanket. I remember this. It was literally heartbreaking. I remember it really was on the news. Yeah.
And what's crazy is I think that the handmade blanket shows that, you know, she was loved. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like, what has happened here? It's just a mystery.
I think most Australians will remember when this suitcase was found, and there were so many questions surrounding it, because, like, there wasn't – I don't think in that specific area there was, like, a child that was reported missing in that age group. So they're like – this person's not even reported missing. Like, who is this girl?
Yeah, exactly.
There was even like a few theories floating around that maybe the suitcase contained the remains of one of the Beaumont children. Oh. But obviously that didn't go anywhere. But that's what I mean. Like, they had no idea who it was.
Yeah.
So police were, again, appealing to the public to help identify this child, putting a huge emphasis on the handmade blanket that was found with her. In the hope that someone would recognize the blanket or who had made the blanket or anything. Sorry, Karina, you have a note here. They put some of the clothes that were in the suitcase on like mannequins to try and spark people's memories.
Yeah. They're like someone, because I think a lot of the clothes in the suitcase as well were like, you know, like from Cotton On Kids and stuff like that. So it's obviously mass produced, but they thought, like you said, with that handmade blanket, that's something unique. And they did put like a mannequin in like this black tutu that was found when they were doing a lot of the press conferences. And so can I just tell you, isn't it crazy? Because I feel like a lot of the times in Australia, they do this with clothing and things like that. Like they usually will dress them up in, you know, if someone's gotten missing. But I feel like that doesn't really happen in America. Is that just my imagination? I feel like this is a real Australian sort of thing for them to do. True.
Yeah. But that's what did it, though. So after 1,200 calls to Crime Stoppers, one caller, her name was Tanya Weber, she saw the dress that was being publicized and she knew that she had seen that dress before. She had seen her best friend's granddaughter, Candalise Pierce, wearing this dress in her living room in Alice Springs. So Tanya obviously called Crime Stoppers with this information. She was the 1,297th caller with this case, but she was the first one to really give it the breakthrough that it needed. So the remains were then identified as Candalise Pierce Stevenson, and then police were obviously now starting to look into the circumstances surrounding her death and why she wasn't reported missing and all of this stuff. So Candalise and her mother, Carly, left their home in Alice Springs in November 2008. So this is a significant amount of time before her remains were found. And when they left Alice Springs, her family, like both Candalise and Carly's family, they hadn't seen them since. Their family described them leaving as abrupt and their departure shocked their family. So 20-year-old Carly, which was Candalise's mother, reportedly left Alice Springs to look for work. Police believe that they travelled to places like Darwin, Adelaide, Victoria and Canberra. So they really were travelling all over the country. In September 2009, Carly's mother reported them as missing because she hadn't seen them since they left. But the police reassured Carly's mum that she was alive and she didn't want any contact at that time and the missing persons report was closed.
Yeah, I think they said from, I think Carly's mum, I think her name was Colleen's memory, like as in what she had told her family and friends is that the police clear closed it because they had sighted her. Like she assumed that they had sighted or spoken to her daughter, even though she hadn't. And she had said like she does not want to like, anything to do contacted. With their family or be contacted.
And up until they left Alice Springs, like she had a very good relationship with her mum. They'd speak all the time. And, you know, obviously like Carly was messaging, but they hadn't physically seen her. And I think Colleen just thought that it wasn't the frequency that they were used to. Like, so it just seemed a bit off.
Yeah, and like you said, they used to speak every day. She'd speak to her mum every day. And then it went, like she moved away. We'll get into a little bit of the timeline after. But, yeah, after she moved away, I think she gave her a bit of space thinking, obviously, you know, she wants to go and explore and stuff. But after it had been like a year, she was like, hang on a sec, like there is something definitely going on. Something is wrong.
Yeah. So police had found that Carly's phone was being used. She was sending messages to let friends and family know that she was alive and well, and she was even using her phone to ask for money from her family and friends. Her bank account was being accessed, and she was still receiving, like, family benefit Centrelink payments. However, because obviously Candalise's remains were found and Carly's weren't, a positive DNA match was made between Candalise's remains found in the suitcase and the skeletal remains that were found in Belanglo 5 years prior. And these were Candalise's mum, Carly. So found in like, I think they were like 1,200 kilometres away from each other.
Yeah, it's like I think it's 11 or 12 hours away. And how wild, like a completely different state. It's crazy that the police made this connection.
Yeah. So police were appealing to owners of motels and hotels along their supposed route when they left Alice Springs in 2008. They were perplexed as to how Carly's remains were found in New South Wales and Candalise's were found in South Australia. Because Carly's bank accounts were being used, police scoured through CCTV footage for clues. And going through all this footage revealed a woman in a wheelchair and a man had impersonated Carly at the bank to get money from her account. And that someone was also going into Centrelink using documents of Carly and Candelisa's to get the Centrelink benefits. So the identity of the woman impersonating Carly was revealed to be a woman named Hazel. She had had her leg amputated in a car accident, and in that car accident, her two children were killed. That's why she was in a wheelchair, because she had her leg amputated. Now, in this car accident that caused the death of her children, a man by the name of Daniel Holden was driving the vehicle at that time, obviously causing the accident. And Daniel was actually dating Hazel at this time. So Hazel was actually the person impersonating Carly to get her money and all that stuff. So it was clear to police that Daniel may be the link that they were looking for. Carly and Daniel had actually been in a short-term relationship leading up to the murder, with the pair living together in the ACT. This is a bit confusing to me, and you might know because you've read the book, but like, she lived in Alice Springs, but she was living with Daniel in the ACT. Like, I'm a bit confused by that.
Okay. So and I remember we're talking back and forth and you're like, there's not a lot of info and there's actually not much about just the timeline or about, like, you know, the circumstances before she left with Daniel. So I wanted to tell you a little bit about it, right? So in the book, they do go in. So they go in this book, they go into a bit of detail on Carly and her relationship. So Daniel and Carly met through her boyfriend at the time, Robbie. Robbie wasn't Candelisa's father, but he definitely, like, took on the responsibility like he was. Like, he treated her like, you know, she was his own. He would support them. They lived together. And Carly had actually fallen pregnant from a one-night stand when she was 17, and the biological father just didn't want to be a father. So he wasn't part of Candelisa's life, right? Anyway, so Robbie's taken on the responsibility. They're living together. Anyway, at the time, he was friends with this guy named Daniel. And Daniel was dealing drugs, and he lived with his partner Hazel and her three children. And this is all in Alice Springs, right? Anyway, one of the children he claims was his, but I don't think Hazel's like, no, this is from someone else. But anyway, I mean, that's not much of a big deal, but it is an interesting. I just found it interesting, right?
Yeah,
100%. So the couple became friends and would hang out all together. And this is because Candelisa and Daniel and Hazel's daughter were a similar age. So they'd, you know, hang out and play together. But there's a lot of rumors, right, that Hazel was quite jealous of Candelisa because she always had, like, cute outfits on. She had, like, beautiful blonde hair. And apparently Hazel's young daughter, you know, she would have hand-me-downs, like all the clothes she wore belonged to her older siblings. And I think that she had, I cannot even remember why, but apparently she used to pull out her hair. So that just shave her head. So anyway, Hazel was, just very, I think, just jealous of Carly in general. She was obviously younger. She was gorgeous. Anyway, Carly would smoke weed but had never experimented with anything harder until she started hanging out with Daniel. And Daniel, who was into ecstasy and speed, encouraged Carly to try ice. So she obviously got into, like, a bit harder drugs when she was hanging out with them, right? Anyway, it was around this time that Daniel had that car accident, right? And like you said, that car accident killed his two stepchildren, Willow and Ryan, and it paralyzed Hazel. She lost her leg, I should say. So Daniel and his daughter, this is the one he claims is his Lauren, they had minor injuries considering how big this accident was. Anyway, it's believed that he was under the influence driving back from a drug run between Adelaide and Alice Springs when this accident took place. But he claims that he swerved to avoid hitting a kangaroo. Now, Daniel really spiraled after this accident and was using drugs to cope. You know, I heard this thing, Lockie, that he was eating ice. I don't even know chewing it. Anyway.
Stools, yeah.
Yeah. It was at this time that Carly broke it off with Robbie, and Robbie was absolutely devastated. You know, he thought they'd work through their problems, but Carly was like, nope. Anyway, while Hazel was in hospital, and she's in hospital in South Australia, Daniel and Carly were spending a lot of time together. And Robbie has said that he was a little bit suspicious of their relationship when he was with Carly because, you know, I think he said one time he came home early and Daniel's car was like in his driveway, or like he saw messages between Carly and Daniel. Like, he was a little bit sus, but he didn't want to think that Carly would do anything behind his back. But anyway, it was at this time. So they've broken up, and now Carly and Daniel are spending a lot of time together. And he's obviously thinking that his suspicions were correct at this time, right? Anyway, yeah. It was about October, early November, when Carly took Daniel to meet her mother, Colleen. And Carly told her mum that she was going to South Australia with Daniel. Now, Colleen had a really bad feeling because Daniel's like heaps older. He's like 15 years older. Carly, right? And she's like, why don't I just keep Candelice with me and you go? But Carly would not leave without it. Like, she loved her daughter and she always wanted to be a mom, so she's like, no, like, I'm not going anywhere without my daughter. So obviously she takes Candelice with her. Now, Carly and Daniel went to Adelaide and shared a hotel room. This is obviously Hazel's in a hospital, remember, that's his partner at the time. And Hazel's sister was at the same hotel room, and she was too scared because obviously Hazel's fragile enough as it is, so she doesn't tell her that obviously Daniel's going behind her back with Carly. And Hazel is fuming when she finds out that Carly and Candelice are in Adelaide with Daniel. And Daniel tries to spin it as though Carly's gone there to see her, but she knew there was something else going on. So Daniel, Carly, and Candelice leave Adelaide together the day after Willow and Ryan's funeral. Hazel's still in hospital, and Daniel tells her that he's leaving because the police are after him over that car accident. But he doesn't tell her that, like, Candelice and Carly have gone with him. So Daniel, Carly, and Candelice go and stay with Daniel's cousin in ACT. This is probably why you're like, why the heck are they, like, how are they living together? In ACT. And this is why. So they've gone. They've obviously attended the funeral. Now they've gone to ACT. They're living with Daniel's cousin. Now this is where obviously things you can tell go this is where everything starts. So apparently Daniel and Carly get into a massive fight, and this is on December 15th, 2008, and Daniel and Carly leave Daniel's cousin's house. And Daniel comes back 14 to 17 hours later, Lockie, alone, and he tells his cousin and her partner that he's dropped off Carly at a bus stop. And Candelice, and at the time, sorry, when I say they left Candelice with his cousin, right? Oh. So wouldn't you think, like, where the heck's, like, why hasn't she come back to get her daughter? But he says no, like. And one of the reasons apparently that they were fighting is there's a few reasons, but one of them is because apparently Carly wasn't giving his cousin her money. Like, I don't know if she was paying rent there or something along those lines. Anyway, so he says she left her car with Daniel as payment. So they go trade in her car, they get money for her car, and the cousins are just like, and he's like, listen, I'm going to take Candelice to her grandmother's house because Carly's, I've dropped her off at the bus stop and she's like on drugs and she's not doing well, whatever. That's what he tells his cousin, and that he's going to take Candelice to drop her off at her grandmother's house. So when they leave a few days later, he leaves with Candelice, and the cousins are under the impression that, you know, Carly's gone off somewhere. She's, you know, as I said to you, she's at a hotel, bus stop, whatever. He's left her with money, and he's going to drop her Candelice off at
the grandma's.
Yeah. So that's sort of a bit of the backstory.
Yeah. So obviously December the 15th is the night that Carly died. So I think evidence suggested that Carly was actually killed in Belanglo State Forest, that Daniel had stood on Carly's back or neck and kneeled on her chest, causing her death. Foreign objects were also used to sexually assault Carly at the time of her murder, and the police also discovered what they described as trophy photographs on an SD card of Daniel's.
And the photos are horrific. And they're close-ups of Carly's upper body and face with a leg and foot on her neck. And there's another photo of her wearing her T-shirt, but she's naked from the waist down.
So Candelise, however, was not killed for another 4 days after her mum, and her death was horrendous. I don't even want to think about her last 4 days of life either. Like,
I know.
Would have been horrendous.
Horrible. Yeah.
Bit of a disclaimer here. Candelise was found with a nappy around her head that was secured with duct tape, and she had dishcloths stuffed down her throat, and her cause of death was suffocation. So they obviously put there when she was alive.
Oh.
There was also believed to be a sexual motive to the death of Candelise. Yeah, it's like horrendous. I can't even, it's like such
I know.
Yeah, so they believed that he killed Candelise 4 days after. So whether he was going to drop her back and something changed, or he was never going to drop her back, I'm not sure. Does it say anything in the...
So in the book, it's sort of implied that there is no way he was going to take her back, because then obviously people are going to be like, where's Carly? And yeah. Another reason, when he left ACT, so when he left his cousin's house, he was actually making his way back to Hazel, because around this time, Lockie, Hazel had contacted him that she was going to sue him for the car accident, and he obviously is thinking like... obviously he's going to be in a little bit of like strife with money and things like that. So he's going to get back together with Hazel. So he's on his way back to Hazel. So he's on his way back to Adelaide and they know that he definitely had Candelise with him on his way back. And this is when they think she was murdered, because obviously he couldn't show up at Hazel's with Candelise.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was revealed that Daniel was the one using Carly's phone to communicate with her friends and family to let them know she was alive. So he was sending like fake proof of life messages, fully knowing that she wasn't alive. Yeah. He'd also stolen around $70,000 from her bank account and Centrelink payments. Like, this is kind of total following her death.
You know, sorry, just quickly, I wanted to say something really sad. So her mum, right, so he was calling and messaging her parents and even Robbie for money and saying like, you know, like I need money, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, her mum was really sick. She was actually dying of cancer. And sometimes he would be like, or she'd message and be like, Mum, I really want to come home. Can you send me some money? And she would send like the last bit of money she had, hoping horrible. To see Carly and Candelise. And she actually passed before any of this was uncovered. And I think that, like, you know, her last moments of life, she was just asking to see her daughter and granddaughter. It is so freaking sad. But I think her best friend, the one that had actually called in the tip, says, like, you know what, it's better she doesn't know what happened to them.
Yeah, I think she passed away in 2012, which was obviously that period of time where Carly wasn't identified. But Candelise's remains hadn't been found yet.
Yeah.
So in October 2015, so this is only a few months after Candelise's remains were found, Daniel Holden was arrested and charged with the murder of Candelise. And then in December, he was arrested and charged for the murder of Carly. So they're obviously trying to get enough evidence to do both.
Mm-hmm.
During Daniel's hearing, the prosecution argued that the motive in killing Carly was to gain access to Candelise, in whom he had already expressed a sexual interest. Holden had a previous history of violence against women and an interest in sexual violence against children. A document revealed in the hearing cited evidence of sexual motive to murder Candelise. I think they also released in the hearing that he had like this notebook where he'd written down like children's names and like there was all these other like really horrible words written against them and things like that. Like he had history of being that person.
And you know, like his ex-partners had come forward saying the same thing. And, you know, even Hazel, this is so sick. Like, honestly, I don't know how I'm going to say this, but apparently Hazel would write, like, sex stories for, like, to get him off involving children.
Oh, my God.
I know.
And there how do you do that as a mother? Like, how, as a mother, do you be with a person like that and have your own children?
I entrust him with them. What the fudge? But, you know, there is, I think, I don't know if she was prosecuted or charged, but I think there is some sort of off stuff with Hazel as well, which I didn't write a lot of it down, but I think that she might have been, she was found to have some sort of, like, stuff on her computer.
Yeah.
And even I think there was like a painting like hanging in her room, which was like sick. And it's like there's some weird shit going on there as well. Like,
yeah.
So, yeah, so it's very I thought it was very interesting that Hazel was never charged because she was impersonating.
She should be.
Carly. But you know why? Because I thought, and not only was she impersonating Carly, it's believed that she knew about Carly's and Candelisa's murder. And she's the one who told police about the photos on that SD card. She had seen them. And, sorry, she had given that SD card to her sister and said, if anything happens to me, like, he's done something. And it was her sister that handed in that SD card with those photos to police. So she, I think it's obvious that she knew what he had done to them. And it's just crazy that she still stayed with him for, like, years after knowing that he did this.
Yeah,
like, disgusting. Is that not wild? And, sorry, something else I thought was really interesting is, you know, Lockie, he was dating a 16-year-old girl when all this came out, as in they discovered Candelisa and then they discovered, do you know what I mean, like the connection to Carly and that they had been murdered and they knew that Daniel was one of the last people that they were both with. They obviously start looking to find where Daniel was, and he was in jail at the time for abusing a child. That's when obviously all this sort of started to come to light. Anyway, but when he abused this child, he was actually dating a 16-year-old, I'd say child, because 16 is still like it's underage. He was actually dating and living with a 16-year-old in like a caravan park.
Disgusting.
And I know, and she had gone off to visit her parents or something, and this poor little girl had come over because she was friends with this 16-year-old he was dating, not knowing the 16-year-old wasn't home, and that's what happened. It is horrific. Oh. Like, this story is just beyond, like, it is, yeah. We should put a major warning. Lucky, put a warning before this episode because it's like,
yeah.
But, yeah, it's just crazy. And the fact that, you know, he was in jail for abusing a child, I think tells you everything.
Yeah. So Daniel was sentenced to 2 life sentences and he will never have the possibility of parole. I don't think he'll ever, like, obviously he will never be released. But it's like people like him literally make me afraid to ever, like, let Elsie go and have, like, a play date with a friend or, like,
yeah.
People like him are like, and there's, like, he's not the only one. Like, there are so many people out there that are this disgusting.
And, no, you know what scares me the most? Like, he feel bad, but he probably looks like him you'd be weary of. It's the people that don't look like this that you've got to be weary of. Because how many times you're listening to, like, True Crime Profile, and they're always like, kids are taught at a young age, like, that monsters or people that are scary are the ones that hurt you. And a lot of the time it's not them, Lockie. It's the freaking coaches and the teachers and, like, you know, the piano teacher or the priest or, like, whatever it is. That's what's the scary part. That's what really freaking scares me. You don't have to look scary to be an absolute scary. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
filth.
Crazy. So that is the case of Candelisa and Carly. Very, very crazy one.
It is.
If you have a case you want us to cover, you can send us a message on Instagram. Our Instagram handle is at Caffeine Crime and Canines, or you can head to our website and leave a request in the request box. If you want to support the podcast, you can leave us a 5-star review. You can head to our website to purchase some merchandise, or you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/caffeinecrimecanines.
And until next week.
Until next week.
Bye.
Bye.